Street Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Segre, this your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Street Chess Motherfucking Podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go!
It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
Yo, what it give me, Oblius from the city, this your boy, N-O-R-E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And this motherfucking Drink Champs happy hour, make some noise! And right now, before we establish our guest, because our guest is so, I've been wanting this guy to be here so long. But before we establish our guest, I want to big up to the Lowell Smokes Mansion, the office, the people in the Hollywood Hills who is taking care of us, providing the smoke, providing the ashtrays, and providing the hospitality. Let's big up to the Lowell's Mansion. But when we think of our guest today, we think of the person that you think is not, listen, you think that he's not getting a lot of pussy, but he's getting a lot of pussy.
He might not be getting Chris Rock.
Pussy.
Who the fuck thinks that?
No, I'm just telling you, like, as a person like who's married, like, I like to look at people who's single.
Right.
And I like to appreciate y'all.
Okay.
And you are like in the Appreciation Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Appreciation Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm just saying. He's out there knocking him down. He's living right. He's doing what he gotta do. He's from Brooklyn. And listen, not only that, I feel like he's like the black slime Seacrest.
You did say that earlier today.
Because he got like 10 shows. He's on BET. He's on Netflix. He's on
CBS.
Netflix.
Yes.
He's on CBS.
Let us know.
This motherfucker got so many shows. He don't even know how many shows he got. And he's right here with us right now on Drink Champs Network. Motherfucker, let's make some noise and welcome Tony motherfucking Rock. Hey! Yo, I'm not gonna lie, brother. Every week I see you on another show.
Yeah,
and it
man.
Just makes me proud.
Yeah, man.
Because I'm like, this guy's out here and you're fucking the industry. Because usually the industry fucks us.
Right.
Usually, we're the niggas getting bent down. They're like, oh, shit, this nigga hit me today.
Yeah.
And, but you're like this. You're clearly like this. Well, you're walk down.
Yeah.
You're fucking the industry.
You know what I saw a long time ago? If you watch any sitcom, let's take sitcoms for instance. You watch any sitcom from the 80s to the 90s, 2000s.
Let's take From Mari.
The names behind, when the credits roll, the names behind the cameras are always the same. The names in front of the cameras, 3 or 4 years and they done.
Right.
So I'm trying to be behind the camera and last forever. I'll do my time in front of the camera, but when it's over, I'm going to be set myself up for behind the camera.
Damn, that's...
So my name was just going strolling, and you'd be like, oh shit, it's that Tony Rock. I didn't even see him in it. You didn't see me in it. I produced it. You didn't see me in it. I directed it.
Right.
You didn't see me in it. I created it.
Yeah.
You didn't see me in it. I wrote it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm setting myself up for the long haul.
I'm not going to lie. Her sound effects is crazy. I like it. Her sound effects... Yo, for real, I just might hire you just I had lead me.
But you gotta give them the backstory. So
okay.
It's NBA All-Star Sunday.
Yes.
Let's go. Okay.
I knew that, you know, people were gonna be watching the game and doing whatever they was doing to get ready for party tonight.
Yeah.
So I knew if I'm gonna come here, I'm not gonna waste y'all time. Boy, y'all, I'm gonna bring some entertainment.
I'm gonna bring
some friends. My friends are drinking and smoking.
You compromise my marriage.
We have a good time right here. I got friends in the building. Right. I got friends in the building. Say hi, baby.
I'm not gonna lie.
Say hi, baby.
And here's the crazy thing about how you compromise my marriage. Let me just throw that out there. No, I'm just keeping it real. Because usually, you know, somebody will come over and they'll, like, something will slip. But the shit that he got slipping, like, he had just a black titty just slipping.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's just black titty out there. It's like, and you know, I like black titties.
Wait,
I'm like, just like, cool, it's just a black titty out there. I'm like, oh shit, she got a black titty. Just out there. And then you have a light-skinned white pussy. It's just is out there.
Light-skinned or white? It's two different things.
I'm sorry. To me, I'm half black, half Puerto Rican.
I'm all the way white.
Okay. But you just had it out there. And I'm just saying, I just didn't expect Tony Rock to come through with just a black titty just hanging out there and then a white coochie just hanging out.
It wasn't on purpose, but I knew I wasn't wearing underwear. And I'm very open and free as a woman, so I'm good.
She's free as a woman, man.
I have no idea what that means. Please, can you elaborate?
I'm comfortable.
We do it every feel so well, we feel so comfortable. So if you can't handle it, you can't handle it.
They can't get money. Y'all better send out for some ones. We can't get money here.
Let me just tell y'all something. I so much respect a person being who the fuck they want to be.
1,000%.
I'm definitely. What's this one? What? Show me some. Show you some. I have no idea. Show him something. Listen, baby girl, you tired. It's okay. We want you. I'm sorry. I don't want you. I don't want you to get arrested. Okay. No, like, I mean, I felt like you was going somewhere. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's cool. We finna go somewhere, right?
Okay. You finna go somewhere?
I gotta get dressed.
So Tony Rock, how does a person coming from who you are right now? You have a unique situation.
Yes.
You have a unique situation where you actually have a famous brother, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That had went there, made it up to a certain place.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you're going to make it to a certain place. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how do you say to yourself, boom, you know what? Love Big Bro. I think Big Bro is the fucking greatest in the world. You have the illest thing because it's like Jay-Z being your brother.
You're absolutely right.
How do you say, yeah, Jay-Z is my brother and I love Jay-Z, but I still gotta be my own Jay-Z.
Yeah.
How does that start for you?
Because it doesn't matter if it's your brother or your friend or a relative or just a homie. Mm-hmm. Whatever they do is for them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta be on your own path in life. Once you realize that you're in your own lane, then you don't worry about what the next man's doing, good or bad.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So when somebody fucked up in the game, you still like, I gotta do my thing. When somebody getting it, you gotta go, all right, good for them. I applaud you, but I still gotta do my thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I concern myself with the checks that say Tony Rock on them. I don't concern myself with the checks that say nobody else.
But let's
Big
just
Bro,
be clear.
Big Bro started before me. So Big Brother does everything first. Let's be realistic. Big Brother was able to go in the street and play football before I was.
Beautiful.
Does that mean I shouldn't want to go in the street and play football because he already did it? Big Brother was able to go on dates before me. Does that mean I shouldn't want to go on dates because he already did it? So it's just like, yo, he did it first, but that don't mean I can't do it the same or do it better.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But how intimidating was that? Because it's not like... It's not like your brother was fucking like Jack Brock's little brother.
Right.
Like your brother is.
It wasn't like he was Frank Stallone and those shit.
Yeah. Your brother is fucking.
Shout out to Frank Stallone. It's the first name popped in my head. I'm sorry.
No, but your brother's actually the guy.
He's the guy.
Like,
he's the blueprint.
Like he's fucking. Like how hard is that? Like I'm gonna be honest, right?
Right.
If fucking my brother was Roberto Duran, right? Because I'm Puerto Rican, right? So I just went there.
Wait, are you a boxer?
No, in my mind, I'm a boxer. Okay. That's the reason why. You can tell. You can tell. Look, he knows me.
Are you Fist of Stone?
So if my brother was Roberto Duran, right? And he's the guy that's going to box and beat all the city.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't want to box.
But that's a perfect analogy. Now, okay. Watch me flip this.
Okay.
Let's say your brother's Mike Tyson. Right? Let's say your brother's Mike Tyson. And now you're a boxer. It don't matter who he fought and what he did in the ring. You still got to take those punches on your own. You still got to throw those punches on your own.
I didn't think
so. Whatever Mike Tyson did, your brother Mike Tyson did, it don't reflect on what you do, even though you do the same thing.
Right.
He got knocked out in round 10 by Buster Douglas. That don't mean that you're going to lose to so-and-so in round 10.
Right.
That was his fight. This is your fight. We do the same thing, but it's a different fight.
Right.
And it's weird because only in entertainment does it seem like, you know, if it was two brothers working at McDonald's, nobody would give a fuck.
Right.
But if it was two brothers managing a fucking Kinko's, nobody would give a fuck. But for some reason, there's two brothers in the industry in the same realm.
Right. That's
John Gross. Or some no, there's shit. No yeah. way. There's no way.
But that's doing awesome for each other. But that, let me brag for you because it's improper right. for you guys to brag for
Wait,
each
hold on.
Other.
Let me make sure she's still alive.
Yeah, no, I respect that.
Okay,
we like when they come
you
to Dream
the
Champs.
You felt the pulse.
We like when they come to Dream Champs alive and they leave dead. We love it. Like, we love it because, but, you know, honestly, you guys are two brothers from Brooklyn, from New York.
And just so you know, I have seven brothers and two sisters.
Yes.
Damn. We've heard that.
Yes.
We've heard
Charles,
that.
Chris, Andre, good. Tony, Derek, Brian, Kenny, Quan, Andy, Jordan.
But it's the two that's
and entertainment. Baby Rose Entertainment.
Oh, I didn't
Baby
know
Rose
that.
Baby Rose is a show on Netflix called Love.
Oh, wow.
Baby Rose on tour. Baby Rose, the
Let's
fucking
Let's big up Netflix because they are big enough.
Baby Rose got show on Netflix.
And you had people
No, it was no beef.
Let's explain what happened with you and Monica.
I got off the plane.
Monique. I said Monica. That's how you know I'm fucked up.
Listen, I got off the plane. This is the whole fucking story.
TMZ.
I got off the plane at LAX. TMZ ran up on me. Mm. Hey, did you hear Monique got offered $500,000, whatever?
And your exact words was,
I said, yo, Amy Schumer got whatever. Right. I said, yo, I was always taught, and if, please, anybody in this
don't
room,
count nobody money.
Anybody in this room, please tell me if you was taught differently. Please tell me.
Don't count.
I was taught
money.
You never count nobody else's money. Is anybody else in here to say they wasn't taught that?
Mm-hmm.
Never taught that.
You're right.
That's what I was told, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I never said she didn't deserve more money.
Right.
I never said she shouldn't get more money. I never said Amy Schumer was worth more. I just said don't count the next man money. Right. That's what I said.
But it
they
was
went crazy.
Social
media went crazy. Yeah. Yo, you don't love black women. You hate your sisters. You don't want her to
oh, that's
shine.
What they meant? I didn't know
Yo,
that.
Twitter,
I didn't.
My fucking Twitter was bananas.
I didn't know that.
You don't love black people. You hate. It makes it seem weird because I'm saying with a white girl behind me, but yeah. You don't love black people. It was crazy.
A thick white girl, by the way. Like, she's not a normal white girl.
She blackish.
Yeah, she's blackish. Yes, she's
definitely. But I never said she didn't deserve, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then I said, when they asked me about it again in the next interview, I said, if she had a real issue, don't do it on social media. Don't tweet and post on Facebook. Call me. Mm. She don't have my number, but I'm sure Monique can find my
because
number.
Because Monique said that you didn't like
She was like, Tony
women.
Rock was didn't support. But this is the thing. This is what I'm saying. When niggas do it on social media, you right. doing it for the people looking.
Yeah,
don't really have a genuine problem with that person.
Right.
You want eyes to see you. I don't do it on social media. I do it in real life. If I got a problem with you, I don't have your number. But I'm pretty sure I can find it if I want
to. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I was like, yo, she should just call me.
But in real life, right now, Tony Rock.
I think Monique should get all the money in
Tony
the world.
Rock. No. Look, I'm not saying that. Tony Rock, right now. Real life. You have a budget. $5 million budget.
Okay.
Right? And you got $1 million left.
I'm giving it away or I got a bitch to do
no,
what?
No, you're giving it away.
Okay, I got a $5 million give away for what?
No, you got $1 million.
A budget to
give
do
away.
A project.
You have $5 million, but
right.
you already gave away four.
Okay, I got $1 million left to
you
do
got
what?
$1 million left
to do what?
To hire a woman in your film, and this has nothing to do with race.
$1 million
in your film, and it boils down to Amy
Schumer.
Oh, Monique.
See, no, I think they both worth more than $1 million. So $1 million, I'd be like, damn, I would.
But that's not the question. That's not what
you're
asking.
Finish your question.
You saying that's the budget, and those are the two people you got to hire.
Okay, so that's the budget, and that's all I got. Yeah,
that's all your choices.
Got.
Those are your choices.
Who are you? Who is Tony Rock going?
I would give it to Monique.
Okay. The role. You didn't ask the
oh,
role.
Oh, shit. Oh, I thought you said it was special. I was like, I was special.
Nah.
It's a role. Okay, what's the role?
You never asked that.
Let's retract. Go get
the role.
What's the role? What's the role?
Dick sucker.
What's the role?
She's a dick sucker.
Oh, my God.
Amy Schumer. Amy Schumer.
I'm so sorry. Yo, Monique, listen. Let me tell you something, Monique. I think we really love Monique. Like, us
in
the black community. We
I thought people misconstrued that I had an issue. I don't have any issue with her.
The reason why we didn't feel her movement in the black community was because we're looking at your brother getting $20 million. We're looking at Dave getting $20 million.
And she wanted,
it's clearly not a black
issue. She wanted
issue.
Us to boycott Netflix before my brother's special aired. So how the fuck am I going to boycott this shit when it's coming in a week? I got a boycott, and then my brother's special coming in a week from now. And I got a boycott. I can't do that. I can't share with you, Mom. I'll give it to you later, but I can't fuck with you right now.
We don't boycott. I do my
The Rock family got to talk this shit. The Rock family you gotta drop this motherfucking shit. So after that, I was like, what was you saying?
Listen, and I love Monique. I swear to God, I do love Monique. I do, and I want to
say, I got mad love on you.
I do want to say, but I just didn't feel like the timing was correct. Like she didn't check in with the black delegation. Like at some point when we protest as black people, we have to go through a delegation,
right?
And we have to go ask and like for instance,
we got to make sure all black people with this shit.
Like she ain't with it right now, so we got to wait till she wake up, all right?
She's not with it right now.
Did I go too far?
No.
But this is what I'm saying.
She had a wild night.
And I think Monique, she didn't actually go check with the black delegation,
right?
And that's what happened. But now, okay. We have people like Mike Epps, right?
Before you go any further,
yes,
I'm the opening act for Mike Epps' tour, so shout out to Mike.
Big up Mike Epps.
Mike could have picked anybody to be in his opening act, and he picked me, so I got major love for Mike.
But big up people like Mike Epps. When you think of Mike Epps,
Dream Champs alumni, by the way.
Yeah. Dope ass episode. Yeah, dope ass episode. Love
it. So when you think of people like Mike Epps, and you say, damn, yeah, we got Mike Epps. What? My man! God damn it!
If you don't come get this motherfucker!
So when we think of people like Mike Epps, we say, damn, all right, cool, right? But there's also people look at as Mike Epps' superior, like a Kevin Hart, right?
I don't look at him as Mike Epps' superior.
This superior? I didn't say.
You said
I am. I didn't say me. I'm saying there's people like when you. It's
superior.
Just,
like I mean, let me let you ask your question first.
I'm gonna give you a better example.
Okay, go.
It's just like me, right?
Right.
It's just like me. But when you look at certain years that I put in a game,
right.
There's a red man that comes. He has to come before me because he came before me.
Right.
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 There's a Method Man because he came before me. Right. And it's the same thing in comedy.
Well, Mike came before Kev.
This is what I'm trying to say. But at the same token, the people look at Kev like a bigger entity, a bigger...
No. Listen.
Okay.
The people...
Break it down for me.
This is what it is. Mm-hmm. The industry will say who's bigger based on sales and tour money and movie money and all that. The industry does that. The people will say who the champ is. Mm. I would rather be the people's champ than the industry champ any day.
Mm.
The people say, yo, that's the nigga's the truth.
Right.
The industry says, well, based on his movies and his tour budget and his... They do that based on numbers.
Because
I'd rather be the people champ anything.
Because I recently... see, what's going on, my brother? Good to see you,
how
my brother.
How are you, sir?
We coming to you very soon. So, recently, one of the best shows that I love to watch, The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Had a person that I admire. Faison,
yeah.
And he clearly said Kevin Hart wasn't funny. Me personally, I clearly disagree with him. But again, I'm not a comedian.
Right.
So that's like somebody saying, like a red man saying, Nori don't got bars.
Right.
Right? You love Redman. We love Redman. And we love Nori. But him saying he don't got bars, you have to actually critique that. Because you're like, damn, this guy is a person we know who has bars.
Right, right.
So when Faison said that, and Kev is my man. The first movie he ever did was called Paper Soldiers.
Yeah, I know.
That was with me.
I know your resume,
yeah,
man. Come on, man.
Thank you.
You be cool. How you be cool?
Yeah, that's painful. Yeah,
you be cool. How you be cool?
But when Faison said it, it fucked me up because I was like, damn, is there certain comedians out there that feel like him?
No, but see, this is the thing.
Okay, please.
Just like you said, it fucked you up.
Right.
Because it just doesn't even seem like it makes sense to you. That's why I fucked you up, right?
It doesn't.
That's why I said it must be personal. I said it on
the Breakfast Club.
Right?
The Breakfast Club. I see the interview.
That sounds like it's personal.
Right.
Because I don't know two people that would agree with that statement.
Right. The Kevin
so this
Hart
must be
funny.
Some personal shit.
Right.
So if it's personal and we don't know what the backstory is, let us know the backstory so we can go, oh, okay, so we can have a choice in what side we take. You know what I'm saying? If you tell us the backstory and you go, this is what he did or this is what he said, then we go, okay, well now it makes sense that he said that. But right there, to just say a blanket statement like that was like, that sounds personable. That sound personal. Because I don't know two or three people that would agree with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So something must have happened for him to take that stance against a dude that is worldwide recognized as this guy.
Yeah, it just seems like hating and shit.
It seems like...
No, I don't think seem he
like
was hating,
but it seems like something's going on for you to find...
Tony Rock, this is the only part that I have to disagree with you is... Is he actually didn't seem like he was hating. He actually genuinely...
If you genuinely feel that way, because I genuinely feel a certain way about a lot of shit that people don't agree with. If you genuinely feel like that, good for you.
What?
It's all good. Because the masses, this is what it is. Social media created this whole new thing where if you don't agree with the masses, you're a hater.
Right, yeah.
You're a hater.
If you don't follow what 99% of people agree with,
you can't have your opinion.
If you have an independent thought, you're free to have an independent thought as long as it's not against the 99%
top. Absolutely, yeah, you're right.
I have independent thoughts that's always against the 99% top. That's why my Twitter's like, yo, nigga, you a hater. You don't like black women. You don't support Monique. Because my independent thought is...
Hold on.
It's own.
He went there.
And I don't believe in what everybody else believe in just because they believe in it.
Right.
I have, and I can back that up verbally or, you know, factually or physically if you want to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so
I can back it up.
So now let me ask you. Did your Twitter tell you that you didn't support Unique only?
Monique.
I said Unique. I'm so sorry. I apologize, Monique. But did your Twitter say that they didn't support him only because of what your brother had just got?
No, it wasn't. I didn't even see a lot of tweets about his money.
Okay.
It was just I didn't 100% jump in front of everybody and go, yo, let's all fucking say fuck Netflix.
No, I like Netflix. I didn't want
to. I was like, yo, I'm not going to, you know, boycott it because my brother's special is still yet to air. Two, I'm not going to boycott
Wait, did
it.
Did you say that in the same sentence?
Yeah, I'm not going to boycott it because my brother's special is yet to air.
Oh, yeah, you definitely was.
Two, I'm not going to boycott it because Netflix is dope as shit. Three, it's like, yo, shorty, that's not my money. Why would I fight somebody for your money? When you stood up and fought for my money or fought for comics money or fought for the regulation of pay across
but,
the...
Okay, no. So Tony Rock, all right, so, but when is the time that we have to stand up? Like when Denzel doesn't get the next Oscar award, like when is the time for us to all stand in unison?
Listen.
Because here's the thing, right? You might believe in something that I might be your friend,
right?
And I want to believe in what you believe in,
right?
But I'm gonna do it from a distance, right?
Right. And then, yeah, that's the
and
problem.
And then. I'm gonna, and then somebody else is gonna believe in what I believe in. They're gonna do it from a distance.
You know why?
But when is the time for us as black people to stand in unison?
You wanna know why that happens?
Was it Colin Kaepernick moment? That moment?
Listen, let me say something. Black people wanna be woke. It's black people that are woke.
And convenience.
And it's black people that are fake woke. That's
damn,
convenience.
Damn.
They're like, yo, I wanna be like I'm against this whatever, but I don't wanna get in trouble for it. I don't want to...
Like, I want to be woke at convenience.
Yeah, I don't want to... I still want to go to work on Monday.
Like, I want to be woke with my job.
The civil rights movement. Let's take the civil rights movement. The civil rights movements. The bus boycotts.
Right.
The bus boycott was like, yo, it only works if everybody's involved.
Right.
If half of y'all niggas still get on that bus,
right,
we fucked.
Right.
Everybody has to not get on the bus.
Like, for us to boycott the NFL.
In this day and age, nobody's ready to be all 100% we not watching the NFL.
Right.
Nobody's ready to be 100% we not supporting whatever. Mm. Or we going to boycott this. When it's 100%, then that's when you affect change.
Right.
Black people in this country.
Right.
Now, let's get off the subject for a second.
No, I'm with you.
Black people in this country make the least amount of money in this country. We make the least and spend the most.
Puff
this is a fact. We make the least and spend the most. So if we ever woke up one day and said, yo, let's do this. A cop shot a young kid in whatever city. And the cop was, from what we know, that wasn't justified. Let's all boycott Nike for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Every black person. You know what Nike would say? Yo, y'all better bring that fucking cop up on charges because these niggas not spending their money with us. That's how you affect the white man. You affect the white man in his pocket.
No, you're right. I 100% agree with you.
But we're not all ready to do that yet. We're not ready to do that yet.
Because, you know, I feel like you used the wrong example. Like,
Give me a better example.
I feel like...
We say we don't buy McDonald's for a year.
Yeah, I feel like that's a better example.
Okay, so 1 year we don't go to McDonald's,
Because you know why? Everybody doesn't identify with Nike the way we identify with McDonald's. Okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, McDonald's is a universe. I think that's a better example.
But you understand what I'm saying?
If a kid died on a McDonald's block and we took that same approach because the police killed him on a McDonald's block and we said, you know what? McDonald's didn't do nothing about it, so we're going to, you know,
Black people are not ready to take it there. Black people are not ready to take it where it needs to be taken in order to get change. Mm. That's what I love my people. I'm not against black people. I'm not against black women. I'm for the movement. I'm woke than a motherfucker. But y'all not ready to take it where it needs to be taken to get change, to see a visible, actual change in this country. Y'all not ready to go there. So Niggas are too comfortable.
Let's not even talk about something that's so revolutionary.
Let's go.
Let's talk about something that's lighter.
Okay. We can bring him in.
Can we make sure she's okay?
Let's make sure she's not dead.
Yeah, we're talking revolutionary and someone dies right there.
Let's go.
Get her some water or something.
Yeah, just. I'll just open it here.
Let's talk about something less light, right?
Yo, what the fuck? I'm never leaving. I'm just throwing it out there.
My loyal people, they're too good. Thank you so much, my brother. So, let's talk about something a little less lightning, right? Jay-Z probably made one of the best albums of his whole career.
Family Feud is the motherfucking song
Jay-Z
of the
probably
millennium.
Made one of the best albums of his whole career.
Right.
And everybody in the rap game kind of stepped up more than him and kind of said how annoyed we were that Jay-Z didn't even win one award at the Grammys. What is the problem? Before you answer it,
wait.
What is the problem? The problem is we still looking for the Grammys to get initiation.
Listen.
Okay, go ahead.
You want to know what it is? Y'all really want to know what it is? The record companies, the record industry is part of the demise in black society. They promote lean, sipping lean. They promote shooting niggas. Yo, how could a record company, I'm not gonna say a name, but let's take Jack's record company.
Def Jam.
How could you promote the killing of black men killing other black men? How could you say like that's some shit we're gonna sell and package and sell and promote? How could you do that? Because you don't give a fuck about the consumer, the black consumer, and the black listener.
I actually agree with you.
You gotta agree.
Okay.
They promote drug use. They promote violence against women. They promote misogynistic lyrics. They promote gay homophobia. But if you say how you think all the Jewish people in America did it, credit. That's how they did it, and that shit don't win no awards. Because if a nigga by any chance, if that sparks any nigga's brain to be on a better path in his life. We don't want that. We want you sipping lean, shooting niggas, fuck bitches, baby mama's drama, these fuck niggas, Jordans, guns. That's what we want y'all selling. We don't want you telling niggas to buy property and stay with your wife and raise your children. Nigga, this is against the fucking status quo.
It's true.
So you're gonna win no awards for this shit, so the next nigga won't think of doing it.
But why is our society is, you know, Hov should have saw that. Don't you think that?
No, but see, this thing. That's why Jay-Z so dope. Because Jay-Z said, you know what? This one ain't for the fucking masses and for the culture. This one ain't for the masses and numbers. This is for the culture. This is for the people. This one's for the people.
The problem was he came to the Grammys with his wife, with his daughter. Even his daughter told him to relax at one point. His daughter was like, relax.
Yeah, but you got to go. You got to go and sit there with your badass wife and your kid and go, listen, I didn't win no awards, but I got more attention in this motherfucker than anybody in here.
Some listen to Tony Rock, make the deposit. And you also brought some loose girls. Let's just be clear.
Listen. Does that like lessen my message just now?
No. I like that you
come here, man. Where is it?
You broke
it. Come here.
Some loose female. Listen, and look, she has no underwear on. I respect it. No, nobody's saying about it. We're just saying that we recognize you have on no panties, and that's a fucking fantastic thing. I'm just throwing it out there. Like me personally, I have on boxers. It doesn't mean I'm a better person than you. Like you might be a better person than me. I'm just throwing it out there. Yes, but how does it work? Waking up and just saying, "Fuck it,
Okay, this is my first time in California.
Wow.
Not only that, I'm just very comfortable in the woman that I am. I'm confident enough
and
to say.
And did you hear that in California they don't wear panties?
Oh, I didn't hear anything in California, to be honest.
You just heard that. Fuck it.
Everything I've heard has been the opposite.
So you just go out there and go to Skid Row and let's just do it.
I'm wherever.
To Skid Row.
I don't know what that is. I don't know if I want to be there.
All right. Well, your spirit is so fucking fantastic.
I appreciate that.
We want to tell you that we appreciate you.
And I just want to say, this is not our first time meeting me and Tony. We met in Dallas.
Understand.
So I'm just saying,
tell me the story.
Tell me the freak, Tony.
Tell me the Dallas story.
Tell me the Dallas story. Anything about
it? Okay.
Well, I was on a date.
Yo, Annie Mae, if you don't tell that shit 100%.
Did you just call her Hattie Mae? Or Annie Mae?
Hattie Mae.
Oh, Hattie Mae. All right. I'm about to say, I thought you was
like, I can see them. I can see them.
I thought it got real.
Okay. So I was on a date in Houston. A man brought me there. And he was a man. A man. I was on a date with a man, not a woman. You never know.
Okay.
So he brought me to his show, and then he was talking about relationships and being comfortable in your skin. I mentioned some men get like being penetrated.
In the ass. Where is this going?
Never talked about this
on your channel.
You're more than welcome to continue.
Whoa.
Go ahead.
So I mentioned that out loud. Like, I'm very comfortable in anything that I say. And it's very true. I've met men that like to be fucked in the ass, strap on by women. People have their own opinions about that. I've never done it. But he
you met men.
And this goes back
that done it, but you never
well,
done
I said it during the show. And so he was like,
this is
well, now. And then so the man that I was with was just sitting there, and he's in the military, but he doesn't know that. And he's like, well, you need to defend yourself. And he's over there embarrassed as fuck that some stripper girl that he met opened her mouth during Tony's show in front of everyone. So now everyone thinks that he likes to get fucked in the ass.
Tony?
No, this man that I was with.
Tony, you better hurry about him. She didn't do a good job.
I'm sorry. Well, that's what I said. And so Tony, we met after the show.
Tony, she said you like to get fucked in the ass.
No, I did not.
It was me. No, but that is delightful. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Can we? I don't know if y'all can move the cameras. Get a shot of her girl.
No.
The homegirl told me I'm coming to get some money up there.
No, but I knew she was finished. She came out. Her titty was out.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie, your pussy was out too. But it was like pussy was out, like respectful. Like it was like it was like you was respectful about it.
Like take your piece, but don't touch.
I didn't mean to have my pussy out.
Yeah.
Like that was hard, like to me. But she was just like, my titty's out, and you guys just got to deal with it.
I feel like
And I was just like, that's real. Like as a married man, I was like, damn, Tony Rock's putting me in position.
Well, I'm single woman. Mind that. I feel like that matters because Amber Rose promotes all this. Nipple showing, like being a hoe.
Amber Rose is
be a hoe, but that's what I'm saying. Like, be who you are. But me personally, I feel like if you are in a monogamous or whatever you are, relationship should be exactly that. And whatever you and your partner agree on should be exactly that. And if it's right for you, cool. If it's not, then everyone else can fuck off.
Right. Amber Rose is my sister, so I'm just going to throw that out there. And I want to say that everything she says, I agree with her.
As a stripper, as a woman, as somebody who is sexualized 24/7, I completely see where she's at with where she's going. Because what I wear, whether my pussy's out or not, I'm still a woman. I still deserve to be respected.
And you deserve not to be touched, too. Like, people, like, you came here, and it was crazy because the wind blew a certain way. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, holy moly.
Is it pretty? Is it pretty?
No, I'm.
But I'm asking for myself.
All right, let me just tell you this different type of men in this world.
Okay.
There's ass guys, there's titty guys, and there's camel toe guys. And I'm just throwing that out there. I'm a camel toe guy. So, like, that's who I am.
What
so
I was like, oh, shit. Right?
I was like, oh, shit. She kind of, like, waved me like Superman type of way. Like, it was like camel toe. I was like, all right, cool shit. Well.
So, yeah. It was
and
pretty.
So I recognized you.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
But, like, in a respectful way, because I know I'm being filmed and I know I'm married. So, but I also had to recognize your greatness and your cabin
floor. I appreciate that.
Like, how can I not?
I appreciate that.
Did I go too far?
No, you didn't.
Nah, you good.
We're respecting each other.
All right, really, because I respect you. I just wanted to know. I respect you. And I respect the fact that if you wanted to flash your pussy, that shit was okay with me. It was okay with me. I enjoyed it.
I'm desensitized to the fact that I do that for money in a club, so maybe that's it.
No, but you did it for free today, and it was fantastic.
Exactly. It's
like, it was fantastic. Come on, AFN.
No, I'm saying.
Did you not see it?
I'm about to be a father, so I'm staying out of this.
No, I'm in a good way, man. Like, listen, man, you can go and listen to something. You can look at something that is very pleasurable.
Absolutely, you can look. Yeah,
and,
sure.
you can not be indulged.
For sure, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, my wife, I love my wife. I feel like she trusts me a little bit, Charlie. Maybe I'm wrong.
Did we introduce him already?
Yeah, let's go right
let's
now.
Go. Let's
God
do
damn
it. Let's do it.
Tell him how many people you fucking managed. You still manage the fucking industry.
I'm just a humble servant, that's all.
No, let's talk about it.
He the first out the limo. He the first out the limo.
Hey, man, you know, we're doing SUVs now, you know.
No,
man.
Shit.
Ooh. You know, a little something.
You want to introduce him? You want me to
introduce
him?
No, you introduce him.
Oh, man, listen, it was a pleasure and an honor and all that to even be sitting here. First of all, it's a pleasure and honor to be on Drink Champs podcast.
No,
I told y'all how many of the podcasts I watched, and I gave y'all moments from each podcast that I enjoyed. And Fat Joe told the funniest stories, the DMX stories that was crazy. Yeah. And 50 Cent got drunk as fuck, and Puff was made mixed drinks and all that. I really fuck with this,
thank
man.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm honored, and it's a pleasure to be here. You have no idea. Yeah. You have no idea. And I see Nori in Miami. The last couple times I saw you was in Miami.
Yes.
And
I've been begging.
It's been love, man. It's been love.
It's always been love for you.
My dude from a long time ago. And this dude right here, I was on a sitcom a few years ago called All of Us that Will Smith executive produced and created. It was based on loosely.
That's who he did.
His life.
He basically managed.
Yeah, the Philly connection, what Will did in Philly and what he did for the city and how he like galvanized the city and the culture of Philadelphia.
Sorry, Tony, but I'm going to cut you off because that's what I'm known for on Drink Champs.
Okay,
the Philly Delphia judge.
Oh yeah,
in the Meek Mill case
said
that Meek Mill should stop being managed by Roc Nation and go with you. Is that correct?
Ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know. That's what they said.
Charlie Mack.
Yeah, they said Charlie Mack.
Give it to Charlie Mack one time, y'all.
Hey. They said, listen. And now, I'm 100%, I don't know if this is the truth or not. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying. As a media person, I have to always receive the information.
Right.
But they're saying that the Philly judge in Meek Mill case said they wanted him to stop being Roc Nation and to come to you, which is Charlie Mack, and do a remake of a Boyz II Men song?
Again, I don't know whether it's true or not because I wasn't present.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
But did you hear this?
Of course, like everybody else heard it.
All right.
Of course.
What'd you say? Say it again.
I said, of course, like
everybody else heard it. Yeah.
All right. Wow.
Yeah.
But when did you hear?
Actually, Mike Kaiser told me that. Mike Kaiser told me that.
Big up Mike Kaiser.
I came to the court that day, and he was like, "Wow, Charlie." The judge said, "You know, she was like shouting out your name." I was like, "Oh, okay, cool."
Wow.
I kind of
and that was because you used to manage Boyz II Men.
I discovered Meek. Discovered Boyz II Men.
Wow.
Brought Will here to LA in 1987, 88.
Okay, you said that so humbly. I need for you to clarify when you say discovered.
Discovered. Again, taking that dust and making it a diamond, if you will. Yeah, like that. Yeah, like that. Yeah, sure. Throw them again. Throw a couple times. Three or four more times. Yeah,
which one we want to start with? We want to start with what? Because, first of all,
let it be known. Let me just say this. Come next year, I've been in the business 40 years. Got I started at the age of 14.
I am 40 years old.
Yeah. So, and I'm 52.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
And you're looking 12.
I'm looking 12. The green doing something, you know what I mean?
God damn, don't worry. We don't look at the green.
This side right here represent the years I've been living. This side right here represent my brothers that aren't here. Right. I've lost a lot of brothers, you know what I mean?
Man.
So therefore, I won't die. I won't, you know what I mean? I am who I am. You know, I'm representing that. Into the fullest.
But let's explain. Yeah. Let's explain.
That's real.
Let's explain how. Because with the exception of Hov, with the exception of Puff, Will has to be our person to look up to. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't give a fuck what it is. I don't give a fuck if you don't agree with Will's content of music. Mm-hmm. But you have to agree with Will's bank account.
I think it's bigger than a bank account.
Let me finish.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
right. Now you seeing Will, like, to me, this is 100%. I'm a street nigga. I'm a shooter. Yeah. Like, I didn't have shooters. Right. I am the shooter.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And he's my favorite person to follow.
Well, I know you need to use the break from here.
No, no, I'm talking about he's my favorite person. This nigga follows camels and kangaroos. this nigga Will is just, he's doing different shit. He scares a guy that is his friend from Bohemia. Mm-hmm. It's fucking, do you watch Will Smith on fucking Instagram? But I'm just saying, like, he's one, like, but like, aside from Puff, mm-hmm. and Hov, and now when you think of the richest people in hip hop, right, we think of Puff and Hov. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, we don't think of Will.
No, right. No. Can I please interject? Okay, so here's the thing. You said Will, Puff, and Hov.
Yes,
it's three different dynamics in that.
Absolutely. Yep.
Jay-Z will be the guy that came from nothing.
Right.
That came from the projects. And
I
took
think
it.
All three.
But listen, no. Okay. Jay-Z will be the guy that came from the projects, from nothing, mm-hmm. public housing, and mm-hmm. took it to a level mm-hmm. that we were all like, holy shit, nobody could come from. Nobody could come from there and go to there.
Okay.
Puff was the kid that showed the hustle. Mm-hmm. He didn't necessarily come from humble means. Right. He wasn't poor, right, but he showed if you work hard enough and right. you believe in this ideal hard enough.
I think if you've seen Can't Stop, Won't Stop, you will disagree
but
with
listen,
that statement.
But listen. If you grind it out,
okay, I'm listening.
Work hard. And Will was the kid that was, okay, I'm from the inner city. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily poor, but my vision is so big that if you work hard enough and you grind it, mm-hmm. you don't have to be a gangster to right. make it out.
Right.
You don't have to be a killer to be like, I made it out. You can still be a guy that's like, I'm black and I represent the culture, not necessarily the hood culture or the worst, but I came from a neighborhood.
I think I can say what you're trying to say a little better. Meaning, they were used to the New York hoods, right?
Right.
We were not used to the Philadelphia hoods at all. We actually thought Philadelphia was lying.
Right.
You said it was all aspirational. That we were lying?
I'm just saying.
No, I'm saying we're talking.
Because we thought it was a cheese steak.
No, that's right. A New York thing. New York is a, New York only gives a fuck about New York.
Yeah, exactly.
New York didn't collaborate with nobody in the South or the South.
That's what happened.
New York didn't collaborate with nobody in the West or the West. We was all like, yo, we New York fucking all
out. But you got to think, though, you got the black mafia engine. Black
no, 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 no. This is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? I'm talking about for people who didn't travel outside of New York.
Got it.
When you got people who
but I think that's everywhere. I think that's everywhere.
You when you had mean? People who traveled
like,
outside
New York
of
never
New York.
Reached out and gravitated towards another city.
Another city.
New York just has did. Always been like, yo, we yeah, number
we,
one.
We set the bar, yeah. right.
Look,
right.
Look what it's
even
like.
The boroughs.
Listen,
even
the boroughs. The Knicks suck. But New Yorkers are still like, yo, the Knicks, nigga, what the fuck? The fuck is the Knicks? Like, yo, the Knicks ain't been good in years. But the New Yorkers are still like, yo, we ride with the fucking Knicks. The fucking Clippers, the Celtics, the Lakers, the Miami.
Y'all gave up on them niggas.
OKC, all that in one championship. To the playoffs, but we like this, man. Knicks, nigga, fuck this.
Yeah,
because we so in a New York frame of mind, we don't care about the Knicks.
Charlie, man.
Yes, sir.
I'll give you an example of why I was one of the first New York niggas to mess with a Pharrell, to mess with a David Banner,
Cash Money,
to mess with a Cash Money, mm-hmm. because I was one of them dudes that went out of town and said, "Oh, these niggas is mm-hmm. just
nice.
Niggas."
Absolutely.
Like I was one of them niggas. Like I was the first person to work with Eve.
Right.
Her name was Eve of Destruction.
Yeah, absolutely.
She wasn't even Eve.
Right. Absolutely.
She wasn't even with Rough Riders. Mm-hmm. She was with Dre and them.
What's the Aftermath?
What's the name?
Aftermath.
What's the name?
And I was doing some writing for that kid. And I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, yeah, just like Compton.
Just like Compton.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell you, but that's how I cooked up with Eve. Mm-hmm. And her name was Eve of Destruction.
Right.
And that's the crazy shit is, like, see, for New York, we just, at one point, we just had an eye vision of where we see forward. But now, a person like me, when I started to travel and I started to see the reason why back that ass was working, the reason why fucking, you know,
clips.
Clips. I'm in their first video.
Right.
I'm in their first video.
Yeah.
I'm in a grind in, and Pharrell begged me and said, yo, please, can you come here? Mm-hmm. And I paid my own money.
Right.
That's why Pusha T, you ain't on this podcast still. Listen, man, I'm about to come see you.
Right.
He's my friend.
Right.
This is a great threat.
Absolutely.
It's a good threat.
It's a great threat.
It's a great threat. But what I'm trying to say is, New York, we had it so much that we could have been that sport where we couldn't recognize other things. But me being an older person and me being a person that's global, because I've always been black and Puerto Rican, so I always had to have a balance to me. I always had to be two people. So I knew that I had to be two. That's why I'm the first person that Lil Wayne ever collabed with.
Wow,
that's big.
1999?
Outside of Cash Money, because for a while, for a stretch, they wouldn't deal with nobody.
I was the first person.
Wow.
And Cormega. Let me pick up Cormega. Let me not take away anything from you, Cormega, because
shout
I know
out Cormega,
me and you
that's
was,
the homie. That's the
yeah,
homie.
Yeah, me and you was a, it was in that same. But what I'm saying is, we took those certain risks, and that is the reason why there's people like Busta Rhymes. There's people like Fat Joe, and there's people like myself who said, you know what? We're gonna be New York niggas all day. But we're also gonna reach outside of our normal aspect and bring in other people.
I think Fat Joe said that in the podcast.
He was like,
reached Miami and Atlanta. Like, he knew that shit was bubbling down there. So he started, that's the thing. New York has been its own, its worst enemy and its best enemy. Like, its best friend and its worst enemy. Because New York was so popular at one time that we was like, yo, we New York.
No, we didn't need.
We don't need to reach out to y'all. Yeah, we New York. Need. We popping. We got the best bars. We got the real lyricists. We got niggas that really got skills in bars.
Right.
And
right.
then we didn't even take into account that it might be a nigga somewhere else that can do the same thing.
Right.
Then when they just started bubbling, we was like, this fuck out of this down
West,
south country shit. Or this whack ass down south.
And then we had the mad rapper telling niggas, yo nigga, y'all niggas can't do shit. Come on. You can't. Yo, Derek D. Di Angeletti, we need to know how did the mad rapper get invented out of this shit? Yo! First off, Derek D. Di Angeletti, let me just tell you something. We have a whole podcast of you and your producer skills and everything you did as a hitman, right? Because your legacy can't be wrapped up right now, right? Because it's so pause. Because it's so big, it's so long.
If your pedigree, your resume is intact, you don't never gotta say pause. You ain't gonna.
I know, but I just want
to thank you. Listen, your pedigree is intact, and your pedigree
because this is a real big up. But how? Let's just stay to one part of your career right now, right?
Let's do it. First of all, thank you.
No, because it's so illustrious, but right? Charlie Mack as well, and Tony Rock.
Yeah.
So I'm
these are my brothers right here.
Yo, D Dot went to high school with my brother Andre. I knew D Dot since I was like 10 years old.
Absolutely.
Let me just tell you something. Charlie Mack, D Dot, Tony Rock. I'm gonna just be honest. Let me humble myself. It's like all of you guys deserve an episode of us just talking to y'all for 5 hours by you guys self. I'm just saying, Charlie Mack, nigga, I was so honored. I was like, it's Charlie Mack. He wants to come.
Oh, no.
And D-Dot
like Tony said, my daughter asked me just now, my daughter Domino right there. She found out I was coming. She was like, so you're doing Drink Champs? Like, you're doing Drink Champs? I watch it. And then you got to think, I'm saying these are 2 and 3 or 4 hours worth of viewers. You know, I'm saying I want to.
Right.
I'm invested. And it ain't too many things I'm saying that at this point in your life I'm saying you won't give that much time to if it ain't a check associated to it.
And this
it's the culture as they start. It's the, but more so I'm saying y'all important to us, you know what I mean? And
it's a respect thing.
It's respect,
man.
But I'm saying it's informative.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's real. So for me, I connect with that. You know what I mean?
This is what I'm saying. All three of y'all deserve your own 3-hour episode, because I can go into each one of y'all careers.
But the irony is, D Dot invited me to do his show. Connect the dots, right? But
because D Dot, you got a show. You got a show.
We're talking. Let's get it out.
But he said, he was like, Charlie, we can't do like a few hours, which I got to do a day in a life.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And just wow. on you, because again, it spans so far. Wow. So it's not like we can get into anybody that you work with. We just want to do right. it on you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know, that's cool. That's honorable. And right. I'm humble. You know what I mean?
Well,
so
even more ironic is like we have a history from Brooklyn before we even got into what we got into. Before Absolutely. You got into what you got into, before Absolutely. I got into what I got into.
Absolutely.
Then when I got into it, I have a history with you.
Absolutely.
Right.
From
6 degrees of separation.
So all right, it's all
linked. I'm about to take control back because y'all got Brooklyn shit.
We gotta hear the history of the man.
I'm saying, and then, of course, in the 90s, when you was out, Kobe and me were bringing you down to Philly doing your shows. You know what I mean? So, yeah, absolutely. So I did.
Thank you.
So
we all family. We all family. It's all family.
Yo, but how did that mad rapper persona?
We all enjoyed that one.
Because one, let me just tell you something. One thing that a lot of people don't know right. is at the same time, when the Mad Rapper scenario came out, you also had the number one record in the world.
Indeed.
So a lot of people were just...
blessed.
Oh.
She all right? I love it. Mad Rapper style.
This is Mad Rapper shit.
Muscle tough, baby. No, let's go.
But this is the crazy thing.
Yeah.
Give her water, please, somebody.
Water and coffee.
Yeah, please, guys.
A lot of people didn't understand that you were playing the persona of like a hurt person, a person that had nothing, but at the same time, you was on the
living.
You was on top 7 records.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that started with skits first, right? Just skits? Did it start as like a skit joke?
We need to know this.
But then it took out of control.
I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
You know,
how did it start?
Well, at that time, we had the East Coast, West Coast thing going on. Remember, mm-hmm. We in the middle of that. So we sitting in the studio one day, B.I.G., Puff, and Junior Mafia, and staff, and everybody, and a video come on the screen. And it's that video that Pac had made up where he was playing Big, and they was playing Puff, and I think it was called Hit 'Em Up. Okay. I think it was the name of it. And we sitting there like this. Oh, shit. Like, this is crazy.
Right.
You know our flow from the 90s. We want to get the money, the chicks,
right.
the cribs, the cars. We don't want no problems. We come in peace. We come like that. Now you can't be serious. We getting ready to put up new beats. We getting ready to rah. We getting ready to rah, rah, rah. It's pandemonium. Like, phone calls are being made. What the fuck is going on? And I'm sitting back like, man, this shit is for real, but we can't get involved in that. That ain't the life. I ain't living like that. Right. I don't want to have to walk around strapped all day.
Right.
That shit crazy. I just here to make some music. You know what I mean? So one day I know how to get them back. Like it's like how you know you kill somebody with kindness. Right. So I'm gonna make fun of them.
Wow.
Like haters. Like
so
that, just
that's what the Mad Rapper.
So Mad Rapper, so the Mad Rapper was a spoof of Tupac and Death Row.
It wasn't a spoof. It wasn't a spoof of them. It was a spoof
of anybody.
That was hating on us.
That energy,
our energy is giving money. We showing you room. You know, we come in peace, fam. Think of what. Like look at us. We put on shiny suits for niggas.
Right.
These are the realest. Some of the realest niggas you know. Styles and Chic. You know these niggas. Right.
This is a slow clap. Everybody.
You know these dudes. These is real niggas. Mace is real niggas. Right. These is real live wires.
Right.
And they willing to compromise.
Yeah. Did y'all reach out to Death
culture.
Row? Did y'all ever reach out to Death Row to try to dead this whole shit when it was like at its height?
Of course we did.
Really?
We come in peace. We want the bread.
Who reached out to who?
Come on. That right there is going to just have to stay where it stays.
Yeah.
It's going to have to.
Yep.
That's gonna have to stay where it stays. You know what I mean?
Right.
We don't make it to be almost 50.
Right.
With that type of shit.
Right,
you know
right. Okay, I understand.
So where we got to the Mad Rapper was, the beauty of it was, I had used the people from the studio. So the guy that's doing the voice was Trevin Jones. That was his real name.
Mm.
He was Puff's like second cousin or something to that effect. That was his real voice. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Everything. He'd come in every day, and I'm clowning him every day anyway. So it was natural.
Right.
And the girl who did the hi, this is Shay, she was the front desk girl. That was her real name, Shay.
Right.
She just wasn't from New Rochelle.
Right.
And I told him what to say, how to say it. And I just went in. The actual skit is 4 minutes long, but we only used 45 seconds.
When the skit actually came out, and you actually understood that it was working, how was the approach of you saying, people coming back to you and saying, we got to keep this going. We need
a I got to shout out DJ Clue.
Wow. Big up Clue.
I got a big up Clue. I'm doing the Mad Rapper and he allowed me to put a freestyle on one of his tapes, like an interlude, but I turned it into a rap to keep it alive. Like, fuck it, it's alive. And he put a tape out and I put a verse out. And now I'm on the streets with a verse. Okay. Then Puff says, let's do another one for my album. But this time I came with another character. Now I'm gonna do, I'm gonna bring a brother now. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna bring the brother in. And I'm gonna turn this into a franchise. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? You know what I mean? And that's where it came from.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to stay focused.
Distractions, get focused.
Tony Rock is very distracted.
Tony Rock is distracted.
He's from all the distractions.
The Mad Rapper album's coming, right?
You ever see the Tupac movie? He said, they're going to give you all the things you need to destroy yourself.
Right.
Tony Rock is like, right? Tony Rock is bringing everything you need to destroy yourself. Yo, Razzcast is in the motherfucking
Shout out to Razzcast in the building. West Coast legend.
But Charlie Mack, bro. Charlie Mack, bro. I gotta ask you, Charlie Mack. Because when you think of Will Smith, right? The thing about Will Smith is he's a person that I would personally like to pattern myself after. The only reason why people will never say you're trying to be like Will Smith is because I was a shooter.
Because you're a shooter.
That's it. But I really wanted to be the same exact person that Will Smith is going. And the fact that I shot somebody, and it's prodigy for throwing that out there. But
nah.
Yes. But I really wanted
with the music that y'all was coming with from that.
It's very true. I'm sorry, Gita. You're bringing the whole different. You're fucking up my whole track of stuff. But what I'm trying to say is Will has one of the best careers of a hip hopper. And what I mean by that
blueprint
is nobody was mad at Will. Like, if you ever said, like, if Will was ever a Drake, meaning you found out somebody was writing Will's rhymes, we wouldn't have gave a fuck. We didn't care. To this day, we heard that Nas
he's bigger than hip hop. Will's bigger than hip hop.
Fuck. Yeah, no, that was during after Independence Day, Ali, things like that. Because literally, we were doing Big William Styles while we were filming.
No, but what I'm saying is, you've actually managed Will even prior to that?
Well, no, I was Will's confidant. You know what I mean?
I don't know what that means.
Lorenzo Penn, then Benny Medina, or James Lasseter, and then, of course, Benny Medina.
Wow.
His manager, I'm the guy with him every day, all day, every day. Again, so for me, I was just more so just making sure, you know, your rhythm is right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Making sure you understand what's out there, what it feel like, what it smell like, what it tastes
making
like.
Making sure he's not a job-ass turkey.
Yeah, of course. Okay. You know what I mean? And again, it's weird because I remember, I think we was on Run's House tour. Ooh. And so we came back to
Will's recently
house.
Seen Will post a picture with him and Run DMC.
All those photos are my photos.
Yeah, those are Charlie Mack.
I took those photos. So all the photos, any photo that you see, Throwback Thursdays, I'm the Throwback Thursday king.
Right.
So any photo you see that Will took, you know what I mean, it has.
And then Lowell's smashing Charlie Mack.
But the thing about it was that, again, for me, I'm not knowing, I did know, I knew that this is going to matter some years down. Will, of course, didn't want that. He was like, why are you taking all these pictures? And now, guess what? Now it matters now. And then, of course,
he's that type of guy.
He used to dog me out about being on Instagram. Right? Now, guess what? You can't get him off
Instagram.
Dog me out,
right? Because again, if you look at mine, I'm like the Instagram bully. Like, on there all the time. It was made for me because, of course, I've been taking pictures. You know, I was hanging out with Harold Carmichael, Will Montgomery, Darren Dawkins, Earl Curtin. This was 70, 78, 77, 78. So for me, I've always been a fan. I've been the ultimate fan with the ultimate access.
Right.
So with Will, when he decided, okay, I'm going to do this, whenever he want a picture, he's like, call Charlie. Because I got, now, I watch this. He was married 20 years this past New Year's Eve. I gave him his poem that he actually wrote to Jada in 1997.
Give him his poem?
No. Will wrote a poem
give
to Jada.
Give me a poem, nigga.
No. Will wrote a poem to Jada.
I've been married 12 years. I need to keep it going. No. You got to give me
Will,
a poem.
Will wrote a poem. He gave me the poem. He gave me the physical paper. So I kept it for 20 years. Mm. I got it actually framed last year and gave it to him on December 18th this year.
Damn.
You know what I mean? So I'm like a hoarder. So I keep everything. I keep everything. So when Will was nominated for the first
you're a historian.
I have all the ballots.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So I just want to clarify something because you said something earlier and I want the Drink Chance fans to clarify that.
Yes, sir.
Because you said, when we said Will Smith's name, you said you discovered Will Smith.
No. So I took him and introduced him to me, and then gave him the first Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay, so now.
Yeah, that's what I did.
But was that Meek Mill when I said Meek Mill and you said
I discovered Meek, yes.
Okay, I need you
Meek
to clarify.
Meek and Boyz II Men as well.
Okay, I need you to clarify.
Boyz II Men, crazy. Yeah.
I know, listen. That's dope as well. Charlie Mack, I 100% know who the fuck you are.
Yes, sir.
Me personally, yes, right? Yes, but this is my job as a Drink Champ.
Absolutely. You gotta make it plain. Make it plain.
I gotta let the people understand who you are.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, the shit that you just said, that's not no normal shit.
It feels normal to me, of course.
It's just not normal.
No, it feels normal to me. I'm gonna tell you, I had a weird moment one time. We was in London and we was on tour, Boyz II Men, right? And I was sitting there, I was like, God damn, I was like, these guys are Boyz II Men. But mind you, me and Nick grew up together. I know Nick since he was 3 years old.
Okay.
I'm with Kobe the day that Jerry West calls him in his house when he tells him, Charlotte's going to draft you, and then we're going to take you over to the Lakers. I'm there with him.
Oh, because Kobe's from Philly as well.
Kobe's from Philly.
Okay. Right. Go ahead, Charlie.
So look at
Charlie. Go ahead, Charlie, man. Charlie Mack going in.
We'll like to refer to it as Charlie Gump, if you will. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's a bunch of historical moments. Yeah, I'm saying.
Right. That makes sense.
But let me just. I'm so sorry because your shit is flowing.
No, it's all good.
But the New Edition movie.
Yes. So that movie. Okay, now watch this. You know the part when actually Mike meets Boyz II Men, right? So
that's where
so
I was
Yaz.
Going.
So Yaz. I manage Yaz. He played Michael Bivins, Hakeem from Empire, right? The guy in there, the big tall guy, was me. And then the group, my group, Brotherly Love, played Boyz II Men. So it was like really like an out-of-body kind of surreal moment for me. Watching that being played. It didn't happen that way.
That was your son, too.
That was my son that played me.
Wow.
Yeah, that was my son that played me. So Mike actually wanted me to do it. But I refused to do it.
Fight each other, man. This nigga, God, this gave us the crazy.
So,
wait a minute.
Yeah, so for me, the way it actually happened was Nate used to be in a rap group. Nick from Boyz II Men. He used to be in a rap group called JDTR. Mm. And so I remember him and his family going to church every Sunday. Mm. And my brother used to make him sing Menudo songs.
Oh, you know shit. What
I mean? Yeah, when he found out.
I used to sing Menudo songs. Don't tell niggas laugh.
So when he found out he was
a rapper, Puerto Rican,
he was bullying him, making him sing Menudo songs, right?
All
right.
Nobody laugh.
So you know there was five. If you look in the movie, it was five guys in it. So Mark Nelson actually was the original member.
All right, you got to
right,
come
Mark,
up,
Mark,
move it to the left a little bit.
You got to stay
very thin fabric.
It's very distracting.
It's thin fabric. So Mark Nelson actually came back from California, came to Philly. He got with Nate, and then he told him he had an idea for a group. Mm-hmm. Mike was the last guy in the group. Mike McCary.
Oh.
Mike McCary. Mike McCary. I'm talking about Boyz II Men. Oh. Right? So they put Mike in the group, and then they see me. I was going with a young lady by the name Mimi Brown that was at DAS in Philly. She said, why don't you go to this event with me? I go to the event. Five guys run up to me, and he says, that's Charlie Mack. They run to me. They say, can we sing for you? And I was like, sing? I said, you was a rap group.
So you're saying in the movie, when New Edition movie, that was actually you?
That was me. I'm saying, again.
Oh, I thought they sang for Michael Bivins.
No, on the bus. No. On the scene in the
so
bus.
So let me tell you what happened. So they walk up to me. So they walk up to me, and they like, you know, that's Charlie Mack. So they said, could we sing for you? They sing, Can You Stand the Rain? I was like, God. Damn.
So Michael Bivins is nowhere around.
No, let me finish. So they sang for me. Me and Will was living together at the time in Lower Merion. I go back home at the time Will's 19. I'm like, Will, I got this group, Boyz II Men. They crazy. But Will's inside of his situation. You know what I mean? He's young. So Mike Tyson invites me to a party at the Palladium out here.
A lot of names
I come to the party. I come to the party and Michael Bivins is there. I said, Mike, I got this group in Philly named Boys the Man. He said, I said, they've seen any of y'all songs better than y'all. He said, I'll be in Philly next week at the Powerhouse. Met this guy backstage at the Powerhouse. I'll get back to Philly. I said, if you want to meet somebody, who would you want to meet? If you want to sing somebody, who would you want to sing for? And he said, no audition, because of course, Boys the Man. I said, I'm going to get you an audition with him. Meet me back door at the Powerhouse. So they came that day. Two of them stuck in the front door. I got them for 3M. Came backstage. BBD was back there. They sang, Can You Stand the Rain? Mike said, well, I got a deal that I'm going to do with Joe Busby. Joe Busby is in New York. We went back on tour the next day because, you know, of course, all the birthday parties, everybody's coming in there on tour. So we go out of town. Mike takes Boyz II Men up to New York for Joe Busby. The rest is history, as you would say.
Nice. Nice.
That's crazy. True story.
This nigga fucked my whole life up right now.
It's crazy, man.
What you're talking about with Will Smith. Don't sleep on Will Smith. Will Smith was street.
Let me tell you another thing too. Just you can check this. Okay, ask Eric, ask LL, ask Run. I'm talking about today.
When you say Eric, you talking about Eric
being Rock Cameron. Today, okay? We've never took a L. And we have many fights. Okay? We've never taken a L. Not one.
Listen.
Not one. You hear what I'm saying to you?
Definitely never checked the world street credit.
Not one. And we've been in the game, I'm talking about this Will, 32 years at this point. Okay? Never took an AL.
That's what I was saying when I said Jay-Z is from the hood niggas. And they recognize and they identify with Jay-Z because he's a hood nigga. But that don't mean hood niggas and niggas that grew up middle class ain't the same niggas. Niggas that grew up middle class is like, yo, I fight too. I'll fuck the nigga up too. I'm a bad nigga down too.
I was there. He had New York.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I was trying to say. Like, niggas in middle class are like, yo, I'm not a sucker because I'm middle class.
Let it be known.
No, but Will wasn't middle class. Will didn't grow up middle class.
He grew up upper middle.
Okay. Upper middle.
Explain.
But that's what I'm saying. It don't mean a street nigga. It don't mean like a nigga from Jay-Z or from the projects, Marcy Projects. Right. It don't mean because he's from Marcy Projects that a nigga like upper middle class won't still stand up for his
like I told you to say. I'm saying Will's the person. I'm telling you right now because it happened with us so many times. Right. If it's an inkling that's going down, he's sucker punching you
right
from the rip. From the rip.
If it's
now watch
a,
this.
Will told me this story. He was dating a chick in LA. He was in LA doing Fresh Prince. Mm-hmm. He was dating some chick, and you probably know this way better than I do. Mm-hmm. He was dating some girl.
Totally mad, know everything.
And Johnny Gill was dating the same girl.
Okay.
And they was beefing back and forth, you know, like tell Will I said
well,
this.
Will and Johnny Gill.
Johnny Gill was like, this is some. And they met at some rap party. And
this
Will
is said, this is some Dave Chappelle skit. I'm just throwing it out.
Will told me
we're gonna make a comedy
and
skit about
this. And they met at some rap party. It was like the second season of Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Johnny Gill comes to the rap party, and Will said he took a bottle of fucking champagne and poured that shit out and had that shit behind him. Like, yo, I'm gonna crack this nigga in his fucking head with a bottle of champagne.
Well, you gotta think about this. Now watch this. Now think about this.
You know better than me.
Now think about this though. I'm saying framing this for you, right? You think about this. Jada is real as they come, right?
Wait, Jada. Not Jada really Kiss, we're talking about Jada Pinkett.
Jada Pinkett. Okay. Yeah.
All right, cool.
The real Jada.
Jada Pinkett.
Not the real Kiss.
No, Jada Kiss is real to us, my brother. So. Yeah, that's but watch this. What I'm saying to you is that Jada, of course, is really, they come, she's from Baltimore.
Right. Mm.
Jada's a G.
And she also said Jada
married the Fresh Prince. Mm. Okay, she ain't married no sucker. Look at her pedigree. Prior to that, all thorough, you know what I mean?
Right.
Pedigree is thorough. I'm saying, but they didn't marry her. She married Will Smith. Okay, so it's something to be said for that.
Right.
You got to know a woman got to know a few things that I'm saying. First and foremost, that you're going to take care of me.
Right.
Secondly, I'm saying if a joke could get out of pocket, you're going to handle that.
That's right.
So that's proven. That's they ain't got to do with me.
You know he old school. He said Joker. Right. When a nigga say a Joker, you know he got
ears in the game.
I know you're a real nigga. I recognize you.
What he just said, I'm saying every chick in the business wants you.
Yeah.
No chick want a nigga that bitches don't want.
Period. And I'm saying, no, the dude in the corner ain't getting paid attention to.
Right.
It's the dude I'm saying that everybody trying to get at.
Right.
Okay, so again, I'm saying it speaks for itself, but I'm saying just go on record that never been an L on the side of the table with the Cosby Kids of rap, because that's what they were known as. Because I was, of course, the street dude.
Wow.
I was a street dude, you know what I mean?
Now, as a Philly person, and I apologize,
because
I got to bring it back to you, because at one point, it just felt like Meek was taking L's. Right?
That who?
Like Meek.
Meek was taking L's.
And you, L's. Like, I just felt like.
Drake, again, that's after my time. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just asking. Mm. Like, how did that feel? Because the thing about it is.
Well, I know. I'm gonna jump in on you. I'm saying Meek is again. He's proven. Again, for me, that's the thing that actually drew me in. Right. Like, I know, I'm saying, ain't nobody going to ride or bounce that beat in the way that Meek going to get in the pocket. And Meek,
you know,
actually,
what? Let me be more particular. Mm-hmm. Let me just say, him with Drake. Once he went at Drake.
Yeah, again.
It felt saying, like that was a bad move.
That's all subject. Because, again, it's like Jay-Z and Nas, right? So that's about who, where you at and what you think. And what actually, when somebody says, you know, Nori don't have no lyrics. I'm saying,
right.
If that's a person I'm saying that you looking at, I'm saying, what you looking for? Where are mm-hmm. you actually judging at? Because mm-hmm. there's people that love you the same way they love Hov. Mm-hmm. Period. You know what I mean? So you can't, again, it's subject. It's based on what subject. You love.
I respect that.
You know what I mean? So again, I'm saying, I don't see Meek as taking, Philadelphia didn't see Meek as taking no L. Period. Right? Yeah. So again, I'm saying.
But how did it feel when the world thought that? Because the thing about it was, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm with you. I mm-hmm. felt like Meek's stance mm-hmm. was actually appropriate. Right? But the world felt like Meek tweeted as opposed to rhyming. And when Drake actually rhymed that, mm-hmm. it kind of made him feel like he won that situation. Well,
again, the subject.
You know? It's subject. You're
100%. I think, if
no, he's 100%.
The Meek Drake thing was a bigger picture that people didn't even realize. It was light skin, dark skin. It was both parents versus single mother. Mm-hmm. It was hood versus suburbs. It was fucking. Wow. It was all that. It was like well-spoken.
You gotta ask MC.
It was well-spoken versus a nigga from the hood.
Keep going.
But then, listen, it was all those dynamics. And you're gonna agree with this. It was all those dynamics. And then it was his response was weak as fuck.
No, it's first.
The streets was like, yo, we want you to win. Street niggas was like, yo, Meek, we want you to win. We waiting for you to respond to this motherfucker and kill him. And then you didn't respond the way we wanted you to respond. That's when they said he took an L.
This is why.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Brass Cass. Brass Cass, correct me if I'm wrong. Please tell me. Please tell me he's wrong.
Please, Brass.
I don't think Tony's wrong. The West Coast MC Brass Cass in the building.
But let me say this.
Wait, correct me if I'm wrong, fam.
To make noise for what the fuck he just said.
Because you know why? Because it was a bigger situation.
Meaning.
It was Philly.
When one of the most urban Americans versus Toronto.
Meek says. Who raps in Toronto,
on tour.
Hey, Life of Fresh West.
I was on tour. As a person that be on tour, I can tell you that while I'm on tour, I'm not giving it the 1,000,000% of acknowledgement that I can be, because I'm on tour and right. I'm going out and I'm getting my dick sucked or something. This is way before I was married. I'm sorry.
Sure.
You looked at me like you knew my wife.
Meanwhile,
I'm going out. I'm doing certain things, so I'm not exactly focused. So when he said that, I related to that, but I knew that I was the only person that kind of related to that, other than rappers.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right. Listen, hip hop is a culture.
No, I'm giving it to
let me say something. Hip hop is a culture. Hip hop is the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you interact with people. So while I'm not a rapper, I am from the hip hop culture.
Yeah, so I am a hip hop artist,
although I'm not a rapper.
But I am a hip hop artist.
Do you give Meek a little bit of
credit? Do you give Meek a little bit of credit when he says, "Yo, I was on tour"?
I fully understand it, because
I understood.
I'm gonna tell you why. It was me. Not just that. I'm saying I'm dealing with firsthand.
Not because you're from Philly.
No. I'm saying I'm dealing with him firsthand, so I know his process. He's a person that will live, die, eat, sleep, shit in the studio. Right, okay. So if you can't get in there and do what you do, I'm saying again, if it's mine somewhere else, it's mine somewhere else. Period.
Right.
That's just what it is. And what happens to general public is, I'm saying, demanding something of you. But again, general public, you don't have to handle it. So whatever you say out your face is always fire. So you gotta make sure it's fire.
But look, period. There's the court of law and there's the court of public opinion.
Right. Let me drop a joke.
Listen, you gotta prepare for war in time of peace, right? At all times.
Absolutely.
So If you're not prepared,
right? Because don't go in battle.
Right. So basically, when you go into negotiation, if you ain't prepared to
get
up and walk away,
but that part you're losing because he actually started the battle.
That's my point.
He actually initiated.
So that's my point. So you went into war unprepared, with a motherfucker that got bars up here already.
Okay, let me get in there.
Let me say one thing. I'm gonna pass to you.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna say one thing. I'm gonna pass to you. The one thing was, Drake's whole thing was, you say something to me, and I'll never get a reply for it. That was like one of his famous.
The thing was, he made two songs before he made one.
Right. No, and I was gonna say that was his most famous. His most famous shit, you diss me and you'll never get a reply for it.
Okay.
So Meek wasn't like out of his mind to say something and think, oh, fuck it. He just.
Yeah, but okay, now let me say this.
Let's give it to rap. Because rap, let me introduce you.
Yeah, give Raz a proper introduction.
Let me give you a proper introduction, Raz. One, you're one of the lyrical giants.
Thank you, brother.
One, you're a fucking. You're a person who understands lyricism, and you're a person who understands, like, with no disrespect to any of us here, and I'm putting me in the same category, you've been in lyrical war with some of the biggest people in the game. So now, I need to hear your analyzation.
I was going to say this.
Okay.
Drake has one thing, the same thing when Cannabis got into it with L. If you don't have two in the chamber, you already lost the fight. So you're gonna do one, it's called a ferret. I'm gonna say some shit first if I'm gonna start it. But I'm gonna have something already in response to what I already know you're gonna say about me.
Mm-hmm.
You better be prepared.
Continue.
So you gotta have a knife, then you gotta have a machete.
Mm.
I'm gonna jab you with the knife, so you're gonna come up with me thinking I still got the knife, I'm gonna pull out the machete and chop your head off.
Mm.
So that with Meek, who I feel is. You kind of said some funny shit. You was like,
come
nigga,
on,
the projects, dark skin. I'm like, Drake, yes, yeah, the light skin niggas. Drake, you know, it's the Canadian niggas.
Team light skin. Yeah,
Look, all the basketball niggas is the lights. I'm telling you, it was a little bit of a war going on.
I was like,
nigga, where's the Wesley Snipes? Nigga, where the
right
niggas
right,
that's winning?
Right.
So Drake was in a great position, and honestly, Meek went at him and wasn't prepared. And nobody cares about I wasn't ready. If he wasn't ready, right. Nobody cares.
To this day, nobody's
down. If you're not ready, that's a great fight.
But Raz, why don't nobody
he's
care?
Here with the credibility, that's never going to change.
Explain
but you
why
you went into a bad fight.
Explain why nobody don't care if you're not ready.
Well, we live in a social media world. Everything is instantaneous. Me,
yes.
I can get out here right now and get ahead of everybody and make up a story. Mm-hmm. And until you can, once it goes out, it's kind of hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Right.
So, dude went at him, and then Drake. Then he finessed them. He did it. He made club party diss records that the chicks could sing to.
Right.
It was a fucked up design. He was smart on it.
And I
don't know Drake like that. I don't know Meek like that. I'm a student of this game. Some people have more interpersonal relationships. Drake got a team, nigga. He got seven niggas helping him come up with a couple of bars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This is writing camps now.
Right.
Plus, tell me you disagree or you agree.
You don't get no pass for that.
But hold on.
Tell me stories about some of the greatest rappers that have bars written for them. I'm almost 50 years old.
Tell me if you agree. Tell me you agree or disagree. We don't give a fuck if you ready or not. We're the fans.
No, but that's
what we want you to be ready.
That's make a difference.
We're the outsiders. You should be ready.
That's going to make a difference. You got one guy writing versus 10 guys writing. Period.
That's why the one guy, you better be on your team.
But the fans don't care.
I got that.
And the fans don't care.
No, I got what you're saying.
They just want you to have that shit ready in the chamber. It better be the hot record.
Write it yourself, I'm saying, and you don't have the time to do
that. Fans don't care. It's comments out here. It's comments out here.
Y'all stay like Drake. I want to go right back. Like every record he writing, somebody's in there penning. We can't sit up here and say that. That's not blasphemous.
Charlie Mack.
Yes, sir.
We sat there. We had Steve Stout on our show. And
I got to address Steve Stout too because he's a little disrespectful.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Well, Steve Stout said,
hi, Steve.
Yes. Nas wrote Jiggy with it. Right?
He did it right.
And then he said, Nas should have wrote more. Right?
I mean, that's his opinion. Again, subjective.
Subjective. Okay. So. How did you feel? How did you feel when you heard him, like
say that?
Say that.
I was there.
Okay.
I was there.
So you knew that.
Yeah, I knew. I was there. I'm saying, but Will's not going to like. But again, he's making Men in Black. He makes an Ali. That's a fact. I'm saying he was doing both of those movies at the time. You know what I mean? That's
a fact. I would let Nas write my shit too.
All day. Men in Black. Guess what? I'm saying that Nas ain't upset about it. Will ain't upset about it. And again, I'm saying, at the end of the day, I'm saying, what does it matter?
I'm making Ali. If I'm playing Ali,
I'm saying, no. Not only that, I'm saying that record right there, that album right there, was Will's biggest album to date.
Wow.
Yeah, biggest album to date.
Can I ask a question? Let me ask you a question.
Again.
If I'm in a room, and I'm sitting in the room.
Yeah, that's Nas, too.
Jay-Z, Memphis Bleek, Beanie Siegel, Young Chris, Young Chris, Style P, and every day we in the room with these guys.
Right.
Do we logically think, as grown ass men, that nobody in there sometimes is having a problem with this particular beat.
But that's different, though, D-Dot.
It's not different. It's no different. This is called production. It's not called may the best man write the best verse and you win that way. I don't know. There's no rule book to hip hop.
That's not true. That's not true.
You're right.
I'm gonna tell you this. Probably around late 80s, 90s, that's when I think all the ghostwriters start coming in, right? Because early on, it was based on you being able to write. You know what I mean?
Let me just tell you like this. When you consider top five, you can't have
you expect ghost it.
I agree. That's the problem.
Check this out. I agree with what you're saying. But when does it change from a nigga helping you write
to a nigga?
Or a bunch of niggas in the studio and one nigga goes, okay, here's an idea.
Okay,
hey, you go, listen, when I'm on stage, it's mad comics in the room. And one nigga go, yo, here's an idea. Son, when you said this, you could have said that.
Right.
That nigga didn't write that shit. I had the idea. And here's the idea.
Right.
When does it come from ghostwriting to an idea?
No, I'm
gonna
keep it 100.
What if Nori said something and we liked it, but I said say it this way,
and all of a sudden that's the most memorable line there is.
Right. Again, but that's
where does it come from? I didn't write it, but I made it
the most memorable line he did.
But that's a line. It's a line.
Who determines that?
Who determines that? That's the most memorable line.
What I'm saying to you is your greatest rappers have done it.
That's I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you.
They've stolen, they've got it handed to them, and they borrowed.
They all publishing checks.
They all have done it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
Not all of them.
So my point
not
is...
Not all.
Shit, Quincy said Michael did.
I'm agreeing with you. But I'm saying, Ghostwriter might have given you an idea, and said, yo, Dot,
I ain't never had nobody write for me. And that's fine, but you don't get an award for that.
Right.
What if you're
The difference with D-Dot is saying, I think the difference with you is saying is, you're saying if a hit record comes from anywhere, it comes from anywhere, right?
I'm also saying if I coach you to become the greatest,
but that's what producers do, D-Dot. It's not just producers, it's other writers.
Another writer can help you become, another rapper can help you become better. You don't think Jay got better by sitting next to this man?
Well, but sitting next to Big.
I'm just taking it, let's go next time. You don't think that next time while he's sitting to him, I might take what that and put my own twist on it?
I'm gonna give it to you.
Yes, sir.
The thing about it is, I 100% agree with you. I 100% that me sitting next to the studio with Nas made me step up to write my part of Body in the Trunk.
But he didn't write it, though. But he didn't write it. He wrote your lyrics.
He didn't write my lyrics. It was an idea. To believe you, I can 100% tell you what you just said.
Right.
It made me a better person because I sat there and
when it's influence.
It's a different thing from me saying I'm motivated because Nas is in the studio and now Nas is saying, here, you say this.
And you ignore it.
Why'd you say you? What, and let me, because
let me finish.
I'm gonna let you add on with.
Once the nigga say, "Here, this is your shit," you say this. Now I'm not that artist. I haven't become the person that I
stayed on the mountain to be.
Stood on the mountain to say tell these people that this is
me. I'm the greatest rapper alive.
Once a person does that,
absolutely,
and I've done it. I've done it. Like where I gave my actual lyrics and gave it to another artist, and another artist said, "You know, I gotta change this line and this line because they didn't want to be me."
Exactly. There we go.
They didn't want to be me. And the crazy shit is, they saying, "No, we're not gonna take your vision from you." Like if that's like pun gave me. You came up. What making it happen? What wasn't in there? He said, "You came up," and I put, what, making this happen, from rapping on the car to possibly going. I put my other lines in there just to say, I wanted to know. Like, even though you put that in the position, but I want my own publishing.
And I'm saying nothing wrong with that. I'm saying to you, there are rappers throughout history that have written their own shit, and they get all the props. What I'm saying to you, but I don't know when the rules, like when the...
It's blurred, man. It's blurred.
The rule comes in that says if you're in this category, you lose credibility because someone else
gave you
something.
I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to
this is when it started. Okay. It was, first of all, there was personal responsibility in rap. You had to be the nigga you said you was. There was a time before the internet, before you even got in the studio, because it cost too much fucking money. Either your dope dealing homie or your fucking friend that was fucking playing some sports.
But you see what you just said? You isolated a certain section of rap. You generalized the rule. No, you generalized the rule that didn't apply. No, because we had Dana Danes. We had niggas making records that weren't trying to portray who they were, because Dana Danes is a real project dude. This is a dude from Four Queen Project, but just decided to make novelty records.
But he's also
from
London.
So now, listen what I'm saying. But listen what I'm saying. That don't define him as a man because of the type of records he made. Y'all defining the records by that gotta be that nigga. And I'm saying that's fine.
You just jumped past what I said. You just made everything.
That's what I said.
You want to let me finish? And that's not what I said, bro. I said back in the earlier stages of the shit, somebody had to invest, and it was not no record company. Mm-hmm. It was within us, within the confines of what situations we had.
Yeah.
But you had to be who you were. So even if Dana Dane was...
No, you didn't.
Dana Dane...
Nah, when it started...
No, you didn't.
Listen.
When it started, who was who they was?
Listen. When it started...
Furious Five was wearing feathers out of the ear.
That's who they were.
They weren't. It was the 70s. They got pressed into that.
It started out. First was
they came from the disco era.
Let's go lyrically. Let's go lyrically first. First it was lyrically. First was I'm just so cool. I got a fucking credit card says I wish you would. I got a fucking little outside. Takes me to the point. Yeah,
even New York niggas had Jerry Curls.
It was all so cool. Then it was. I'm so rich. I can do this. I can do that. I can take your bitch. Then it was so. I'm so gangster. Then it was I'm black power. Then it was I'm so gangster. Right. I fuck you up. Then it was I sell drugs. I shoot your moms. Then it was nigga fuck bitches. We don't give a fuck about nothing.
And then it turned into I'm emo and I buy bitch everything.
Exactly.
And I'm soft as fuck.
Exactly.
Where did Tribe Called Quest fit in? Where did De La Soul fit in?
We just said that.
They were called the Native Tongues.
African.
I was Black Power. I was Two Kings in a cipher. That was Black Power.
Before
they weren't preaching to you. They weren't dropping the jewels. So I'm saying y'all categorizing like we all had to portray who we really were. When I'm telling you, waking up every day, I got a man who's wearing a fez with me. He ain't wearing that fez to go to the fucking store. Furious Five wasn't wearing the feathers and the belts to go to the store. It was costume.
Nigga, but
these is real life objects that are trying to do an image.
No, you're
trying to portray
it. Not you taking it into
the performance category. Earth, Wind, and Fire wasn't wearing fucking plastic suits to the fucking store either.
They not rappers.
Luther Vandross wasn't wearing that fucking shit.
Reason being because I'm saying the criteria of being a rapper, again, to get your name came based on, I'm saying lyrically, how you can rap.
And even when we think of gangsta rap.
Right.
What's my man that robbed the bank from Philly?
Steady B.
Cool C.
Both of them.
Doing life.
Yeah.
And when we think of gangsta rap, we immediately think of New York. Mm-hmm. And we immediately think
No, let's take it back.
Gangsta rap was West Coast.
I'm telling you, Eazy-E and Ice Cube told me the only reason why they rap was because of Schoolie Day.
PSK
was everywhere.
It didn't resonate with us until
Tony Rock is a real hip hop.
I'm a hip hop historian. It didn't resonate with us until Eazy-E said, "What about the bitch that got shot? Fuck her. You don't give a fuck about the bitch that got slugged." Then New York was like, "Oh shit, these niggas is crazy." We heard Schoolie before. But it didn't resonate with us until them niggas said,
"Tony Rock, listen, come on." Every time before I see somebody like this brother come on, you know. Drink Champ, I let go and I investigate them. And I'm really, you're really a hip hop guy. Nigga. Like, you know, like I'm so proud. Like,
everybody else I knew was hip hop.
The greatest hip hop song I ever heard. My brother had a party in the basement of our house.
And who's your brother? And
my brother's Chris.
He was Chris.
He was a DJ. His name was DJ.
We need to know.
Break Chris beat or something like that. DJ. Snapback, some shit like that. And we had a basement. We had a party. We had a party in the basement of our house. I snuck downstairs into the basement and I listened to a 45 of Run DMC Sucka MCs. Wow. It was the greatest thing I ever heard in my life. It doesn't even register in your ears because you never heard nothing like that before. So my ears was like, what the fuck is this? I've never heard nothing like this before. And Run DMC to this day is the greatest fucking rap group of all time. From that day on, I've been a hip hop historian, not a fan. Historian.
Run DMC. Yes. One of their whole records, they rap Aerosmith. What's the name? The whole verse. That's right. All somebody else's verse.
Right.
But are they still the greatest rappers?
They are the greatest rappers.
Wait.
The Joe Aerosmith.
Tell me, walk this way
is not the original.
Right. No.
They took the original record and racked it.
Because, like Jay-Z said, I didn't cross over. I brought the street.
Okay, so listen. Walk This Way is not Run DMC writing. They took the original record of Walk This Way, the Aerosmith version, and put it into a rap.
Okay, what's Jay-Z's lyric? I didn't cross over. I brought the COVID to the hood.
Run DMC's words 20 years before,
right?
What are we saying to that?
I didn't cross over. I brought.
What are we saying to that?
I don't. I know you won. I just don't know.
We can't judge no hip hop. No, there's no category. There's no
listen.
If you claim to be one of the greats, you cannot be a GOAT if you don't get it. So, all right. So, me and Charlie Mack, there's one thing
we do this all the
time. Me and Charlie Mack discuss. One of Charlie Mack's favorite MCs of all time is Melly Mel.
The
favorite. I'm talking about recent. Recent is Kanye West.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I'm saying to you, I'm talking about in terms of lyricism, there's a difference.
Kanye West does not write.
No, he doesn't. Is that a fact? No, absolutely.
Is he considered one of the greatest lyricists of all time?
No, 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 Dot, I said rapper. I ain't say lyricist.
Either way, it's a difference. Either way, you're still getting paid.
No, Dot. Dot's a difference.
You see what
I'm saying? If I did top five lyricists, it's going to be the ones that wrote, the five ones that wrote their lyrics.
No, but listen to him. So he top five rappers. Is five.
No, I wouldn't.
See that?
No, because I'm saying again. I'm saying reason being, because again, there's lyrics, there's lines that you love from him that was written by somebody else.
Right.
I'm saying that's not a big thing. Everybody know that. He says, right. I'm who again.
Is it? I said Jay-Z.
No, there's
you see
lines.
My point?
Jay-Z, there's lines that you love from him that he didn't write.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Drink Champs podcast. Drink Champs is a weekly podcast created by DJ EFN and NORE and is produced by DJ EFN and NORE. Sound engineered by Hazardous Sounds. You can also watch us on Revolt TV every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, as well as online 6 days following the TV premiere of an episode. Schedule may vary depending on special releases or off weeks. For everything Drink Champs, including Drink Champs merch, powered by 89 Clothing, log on to drinkchamps.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at drinkchamps. Follow DJ EFN at Who's Crazy on Instagram, at DJ EFN on Facebook and Twitter, and follow Nori at The Real Noriega on Instagram, at Noriega on Twitter and Facebook. Look out for new podcasts coming out under our podcast network. Also, be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes and everywhere else our podcast is available. We also post audio on SoundCloud and YouTube, so search us, find us, subscribe, like, and comment there as well. Thank you to our Drink Champs Army for continued support, and if you are new to the Army, thanks for joining the family.